Thank you. Mr. Ingram? Good morning. You are appearing pro hoc vice.
Yes, that's correct. I was hoping to reserve 3 minutes at the end of this, so having only 7 minutes up front. To go over the basic facts of this case, this court has narrowed down the issue on appeal to just whether or not there was an adverse action. Well, I may mistake that, but one of the issues on this appeal is whether there was an adverse action when Mr. Bridgeforth was denied, a nomination for an award, which could ultimately end up getting him a time off benefit or a monetary award. Now, in this case, the protected activity that was alleged was on 5/21/2007. Mr. Bridgeforth settled his EEO case. Within about a month's time, he had undertaken some activity on behalf of the police force. He investigated a vicious assault in Meridian Hill Park, a robbery in Meridian Hill Park, and volunteered as a plainclothes officer and made two arrests within two months of that 5/21/07 time period, for which he believed that he should have gotten an award, a commendation, an award of time off, or a monetary award. Important to this case is that previously Mr. Bridgeforth had received awards of time off, had received commendations for activity that was far lower on the scale here than what he's claiming now he should have gotten the award for. Now the court below took the position, and it appeared to be.
I thought it was a different type of recognition, though, for setting up programs and. Did you say it was not as, you said it was far below. What do you mean?
Well, I mean that the activity for which he had been awarded in the past was rather mundane. And it wasn't the kind of star quality that somebody would achieve like a year-end bonus for or an outstanding recognition, sort of a Medal of Honor type award. These are general bonuses that we're talking about. And by bonus, I mean not necessarily monetary, but economic benefit.
Time off, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In which the which Mr. Bridgeforth, the previous work that he did was very much the kind of mundane work that you would receive a day off for. Here, what we're talking about are, and he describes it as acts of heroism. I believe that it's something of that nature, where he's helping to pull people from burning cars. He is he's volunteering and making arrests. He's
no one else who was involved in those activities received such an award, did they?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So is his version of events that he was the only one that acted with
valor
and honor?
I'm sorry. It's my understanding that in these events that he was the sole actor in some of them, that he was working with others in some of those other instances. There's six total that have been alleged by Mr. Bridgeforth. I don't believe that all of them are, he's alleging that he was working with other people. I think he was working alone on some of them, working with others on other. Specifically one.
But on those in which he was working with others, no other person received a commendation either.
I believe that's correct, Your Honor. The court below, I think, made an issue of this because they only addressed the point that this could not be considered to be an adverse action. And frankly, we believe that that is not consistent with circuit court precedent. If that
looks
is
an awful lot like the Douglas case, doesn't it?
Yes. As counsel for the appellee pointed out, Douglas is in fact a discrimination case, but frankly, I think the thread goes through all of these cases. both discrimination and retaliation, in the sense that they're looking, the court is looking for non-speculative harms that are happening to the individual who is bringing suit. In this case, the previous awards for rather mundane activities, for something that would be just day-to-day operations and would not reach out beyond the would not reach out extremely, you know, into what would be star qualities. I think that's how Douglas was decided, on the basis that there were star qualities that the president himself selected to reward somebody for. But the point being that the court saw that in Douglas, there was nothing more than the speculation of this one person that he should have gotten the award. In this case, there are previous awards for activity that is substantially similar that shows a connection between being nominated for the award and receiving an economic benefit. Now, granted,
I want to go back to the description of why, of what triggers a time off recognition. And it is an excused absence granted to an employee in recognition of a personal effort that contributes to the quality, efficiency, or economy of government operations. That sounds pretty mundane.
Absolutely, Your Honor.
Okay, so I don't see anything in here about heroism or anything else. And that's why I asked the question. The previous ones he had received time off for were more setting up a program, doing something efficiently, saving some money. And that seems to be what triggers this.
Well, just to give you an example of what's in the record, there was one of the awards that he received on 6/28/05 was for a traffic stop in which he netted, the investigation netted 80 grams of marijuana and a stolen pistol. Those are not above and beyond the call of duty. Those are not Medal of Honor type heroics. And he got a time off award for that. Further, on 4/15/05, he led the team in quality of life arrests with 16 arrests out of about 50-some arrests. These are previous awards for which he had gotten an eight-hour time off award.
Aren't there some in there for this setting up programs or doing something efficiently or not?
I'm sorry.
Aren't there some in the past awards that are for either participating in programs or doing something economically or efficiently?
I believe that that's one of them. I can't recall any right off the top of my head, but I don't believe that they're requiring anything special. I believe I've run over my time, if that's...
All right. Ms. Lowe?
Good morning, Your Honors. Michelle Lowe with the United States Attorney's Office. I represent the Department of the Interior.
If this case is like Douglas, does that, which way does that cut?
We believe this is like Douglas in that the Bridgeforth's claim is that he was denied an award or the opportunity to be nominated for an award, which could lead to potentially a time off award or a cash award. And in that regard, because the harm was speculative and there's a deficiency as to what the evidence shows about what was necessary to get to that next step to the time off award, we submit the harm in this case was speculative, and like Douglas, it was not materially adverse. And the district court got it right and decided the issue correctly when it found that Bridgeforth.
Why isn't this case more like Batista?
This case is the Weber case?
Yeah, the Weber.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Weber.
This case is not more like Weber because in Weber, the plaintiff in that case had been able to show that her performance evaluations were tied to the issuance of bonuses. The agency made the bonus decisions.
No, in between step, right? If you got the performance evaluation, you're inexorably going to get the bonus.
That's correct. There was a correlation between the performance evaluations. That was the basis for making bonus determinations in that case. And the plaintiff was able to show in Weber that in the preceding 3 years, she had been given, higher performance evaluations that resulted in bonuses. And the year after she filed her complaint, she had only received, I believe, a time off award, but no performance bonus based on the performance rating that she received.
Well, hasn't Mr. Bridgeforth shown that there was a pretty good history in the past of him getting these commendations for things that didn't seem to be any more extraordinary than what he claims happened now?
What he has shown is that in the past he did get awards, in some cases written commendations, and time off awards in some cases. But there's been no effort and no showing by him in the record to demonstrate how the mere recognition, the mere decision to recognize him for an act of police work would necessarily result in a time off award. In a lot of the cases that he demonstrates or he points to in the record, he just got written commendations, and those did not come with any sort of time off or monetary benefits. And as the record shows, they were.
But doesn't there seem to be some showing? Let's leave to one side whether they lead to time off awards. Let's just. It seems as if he has established that that there was a period of time when he would be getting commendations that led to awards, and then after that, he not so much. He's not getting them for activities that don't seem to be any different than the activities that before led to the awards.
Well, what he has shown
Seems to have happened differently. Right?
Well, actually, what he has shown at most is that in years past, he has on occasion received time off awards. And what the record shows is one time off award in 2003, none in 2004, four in 2005, and one in 2006. And now he's pointing to a two-month period that he has artificially constructed. This two-month period happens to fall 1 month after he says he made this settlement agreement.
But for the conduct which he claims took place recently and he should be awarded for it. Is that conduct of a different nature or sort than the type of conduct for which he did receive commendations?
Commendations in the past?
Yeah.
They're similar to conduct in some ways that he received commendations, written commendations. Now the awards, the time off awards that he received in the past were in many instances for participating in initiatives. There were programs that the U.S. Park Police would run, and he would, in those instances, place first in number of arrests made or demonstrate, a exemplary result, and that led to the time off award that he would get in those instances. So,
and you're saying those were a different quality than of the type that he's claiming he didn't receive any?
I believe they are of a different quality and nature, and these are the five discrete acts that he's complaining about are more similar to the four in the past that he shows as having received just a written commendation, no time off award, and no cash award.
And we're really talking here about the failure to nominate him for these, as opposed to there's another step involved.
That's correct, and that
because you're, well, go ahead.
I'm sorry, that was his claim, and he says, and that was the argument he made down below, and in his opening brief, he says he was denied recognition because the Park Police failed to nominate him for awards and honors, which could lead to time off awards. So there is this intermediate step, and...
But in the past, have not led to time off awards.
That's
I mean, similar acts.
Similar acts have not led to time off awards. And so he has not discharged his burden of showing that the failure to be nominated for these awards or recognition resulted in the harm that he's claiming. And I think this was his burden to carry, and he failed to meet it. I want to turn briefly to our secondary argument that even if the court were to find that this were materially adverse, there's Bridgeforth's attempt to link the actions of his supervisors beginning in June of 2007 to the settlement agreement in May 2007 is undercut in four ways, we would submit. First, Bridgeforth's counsel acknowledged at the motions hearing that these supervisors that he claims to have retaliated against him did not have any awareness of the fact or the terms of the May 2007 settlement. He said that they have no evidence that these supervisors were aware of the May 2007 settlement of his prior EEO action.
I thought there was at least some testimony that it was discussed, that it's a small division, and that it was widely discussed.
And that's correct. They did know about the generally that he had filed an EEO claim, but the EEO claim had been filed in 2004, and we're talking about actions that took place 3 years later. And during that period of time, the record demonstrates that these same supervisors did give Officer Bridgeforth written commendations. There's a December 2006 award that comes just before this June to August 2007 period that he's complaining about. And then on the back end, they also issued him written commendations in September of 2007, just a few days after the last period in this five events. And in October of 2007 as well. And so that would be the second ground for why there's no showing that could give rise to an inference of retaliation. The third point I would raise is the fact that none of the other officers who worked on these same assignments received awards either. In one particular instance, there was another officer who had conducted the vehicle pursuit. Officer Bridgeforth was not involved in it. He merely completed the vehicle report following the pursuit. And the officer who actually performed the vehicle pursuit did not receive an award for it. There's also evidence that one of the supervisors he complains about, Sergeant Griffith, did not issue awards or commendations to anyone on his squad. And finally, the supervisors he points to, Captain Burks, Jackie Burks, and Roxanne Brown-Ankney, had no involvement in the prior EEO action, so there's no basis for finding that they would have any motive to retaliate against him. For these reasons, the government would respectfully ask that the court affirm the district court's decision. Thank you.
How much time does he have? Okay.
Your Honor, I wanted to point out in the record here, previous counsel, Mr. Hyman, on this case stated that, I don't know, in response to the court's questions about whether or not the supervisors were aware of the existence of the EEO complaint, he stated, I don't know that they were aware of the facts and terms. What I know from their testimony is that it was discussed, the charge, what was going on with Wayne, Mr. Bridgeforth. His charge was discussed in the locker room. It was discussed around the station house, and everyone knew it. That was his statement to the court below about that. I think one of the problems involved in this case is that the fact-finding by the court below was incomplete as to this issue, in the sense that there were no facts that were found by the court concerning whether or not there was pretext, whether or not there was any other issue with the prima facie case that would have resulted in dismissal on other grounds. If you look at the court's decision on the final page, it limits its discussion of the pretext argument to those points where the court found that there was adverse action. So, by its own terms, excluding this because the court did not feel below that there was an adverse action for these individual awards. And further, the argument about whether or not they were aware, the individuals who were supervisors, whether or not they were aware, that specifically, there was maybe one sentence in the government's original motion for summary judgment that brought that up, and it didn't relate directly to whether or not the individuals were aware. It had more to do with the timing of when it happened, and not with who was aware of what when. I don't want to shortcut the argument here, but I think that there is some basis here for believing that this, the arguments that the government is making, trying to find another way of getting to a win on this case, these are arguments that should be better addressed by the court below in the first instance, and then, you know, God forbid, should it be necessary to come back here to discuss that.
All right. We have your argument. Thank you.
Thank you.